Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
All right. The weekend is here and this is it. For Ream Hot Water, we are
Triple M Footy.
And a very good afternoon right across the Triple M network. We welcome you in. The local derby today is, of course, the Sharks and the Dragons, and Gordy will be here to call it. Gordy Tallis, Hoops is still here, and we're joined this hour by the great Ryan Girdler. Hello, Girds.
Hello, boys. How are you doing, Roo?
Fantastic.
You good? Well, you just choked on a nut? What was it?
Just choking on a
little bit of tuna.
Choking on a CC.
Yeah. Been an interesting weekend. I actually caught your new segment on the way in.
Oh, yeah.
Maroon 5. Maroon 5? Yeah. I actually thought of a new name for it while I was coming in. Yeah. I think it should be just called Maroon, because someone just take that out to one of the islands in the Pacific and leave it there. It was awful.
Mate, listen, you loved it. They all bought into it.
I didn't understand it. You just started talking about electric cars, and I didn't know what was it about?
Driverless cars I was talking about. Okay. So these guys did their best to railroad it, as you're doing now. Right?
You did your best as well, by the way.
I did my best to save it.
Yeah.
And after all the encouragement I gave you yesterday
You gave me a lot.
When you had to anchor at the Castle Hill RSL.
Yeah.
A fantastic job.
No, I really appreciate the support. When Buzz rang me through the week, our boss, Buzz McNamara, said that Maroon, and he started calling you AM, and I'm thinking that's got to be, you know, AM, he's fallen over the last couple of weeks. He's really struggling. He can't find his rhythm. We need you to start hosting. I said to him at the end, I said, what do you call him, AM? You know, Anthony Maroon. He said, no, AM, that's the frequency where he'll be working next year.
Oh, good.
Well, there are lots of rumours getting around at the moment. So, you never know, how quickly things can change.
You know, I just, over the last couple of days, and I heard Gordy talking about it, I can't believe Pangai Jr. Has been charged with a grade 2 dangerous, and he's going to miss 4 to 5 weeks. I think it's outrageous. I think it's ridiculous. I don't know what else he could have done. I have no idea. I mean, you know, it wasn't one of those tackles that what we see the players, you know, get themselves into those positions where they then execute the crusher. You know, it was a half that he'd put a bit of a shot on, knocked him on the ground, and went after him.
Yeah,
and that's been part of our game forever.
But he can jump and hit him in the shoulder. He can jump and hit him in the ribs.
He couldn't. He jumped
right on top of his head.
But the guy was.
Don't jump on him.
Yeah, but the guy's trying to get up. Yeah. He couldn't manipulate a situation where he can determine how fast he gets up. He just went at him with his body.
You can pick a target. You can always pick a target. I actually thought it was dangerous. I thought it was real dangerous. And I like
it. Might have ended up being dangerous. It might have been a careless tackle. But to miss 4 weeks, Gordon, for an incident like that, I think that's ridiculous.
If I'm sitting on my bottom, right, you can either jump on the back of my neck, you can hit me in the back, you can do whatever you want, because Maloney was sitting there. Just wait a bit longer and hit him in the ribs.
The thing I don't like about it, Gerds, is...
Anthony, you're an idiot.
You're supposed to be the host of this show, right?
What's so funny about a guy getting 4 weeks and missing the rest of his season?
It's funny how he
Where's your empathy?
How he said bottom. He said shit 4 times in 2 minutes.
Exactly what McNamara was talking about through the week. He said you're
no more gummy bears. No more gummy bears, Anthony.
Ryan, can I just point out that he used the S word 4 times in 60 seconds about half hour ago. And then just said, if I'm sitting on my bottom.
I didn't say that.
You did say it like that.
Do you have a problem with people?
I've got a massive problem with you, yes.
The people that talk like that.
Yes. Go. Sorry, Ryan.
Right. No, the issue that I had with it was, I don't have an issue when Pangai wants to go after a Jason Tomalolo or, you know, one of the other bigger forwards in the game. But Maloney's a small half. He's whacked him anyway. The game's gone.
No.
And he decides he wants to drop on top of him like that.
He tries to hurt everyone in every tackle that he goes into. And that's what makes him the player that he is. And he's going to get it wrong sometimes. He flies a little bit close. You know, he sails a little close to the wind. We all understand that. But it's fair game.
Does he go after all the other big blokes?
No, well, they move Kikau over to his side after about 15 minutes. Because he was coming out, and I think he had Martin, and then he was bullying. And I love the way he plays. I love the way he plays. I like the way he takes them on. He tries to hit them really hard. But just on that occasion, he got it wrong. And if you get it wrong when you're a big, aggressive guy, you got to take the punishment.
And just on that punishment, so the Broncos have now announced they're going to contest the grading of it because of your argument here. And I've got no doubt in the world whatsoever, you're allowed to use comparable examples. I've got no doubt in the world whatsoever that they'll be trying to get into the evidence the fact that Nelson Asofa-Solomona wasn't charged for his tackle. And I know they're slightly different on Dean Britt the week earlier. Mm-hmm. And now Pangai has been hit with a grade two.
Mm.
Grade two charge. If he gets it downgraded, he'll only miss one match.
Yeah.
If he successfully gets it downgraded. The way that the judiciary and the match review committee have been going of late, I reckon he's a damn good chance of getting the downgrade.
Okay, Sunday Triple M NRL. Gordy, tell us. We've got Ryan Girdler and Hoops. We've got the Roosters just running out onto the SCG to take on the Warriors. Can the Warriors cause an upset there today? Why don't we just have a quick chat about that one? Do you think the Warriors are any chance there, Gordy?
No.
Would you like to elaborate in any way or just...
No.
Okay, what about you, Gertz?
No, I don't think they're much of a chance. Like, I mean, the Roosters are one of those sides at the moment, aren't they, that are just... You can just see them building towards something. You know, a couple of good wins in a row, some of their key players starting to hit form. I think they'll get tested today and it'll be a little bit of a performance like we saw from Parramatta and so through... through the weekend thus far. It's where, you know, there'll be resistance showed by the Warriors, who, when they apply themselves, can certainly give the Roosters a bit of a run, but I think it might last 50 or 60 minutes, and I think the Roosters will go on with a job late in this one.
Yeah, you can liken the best NRL coaches to some of the champion horse racing trainers, Anthony, and you know, at this time of the year, they're just trying to tune their sides up and get them ready to really peak come September. And Trent Robinson and the Roosters, you can just see that where he's got them at the moment is exactly where he wants them to be. He's planned every day of training down to every minute, down to every second, and... Yeah, the Roosters, they look as though they're going to be peaking at the right time.
Bit of a concern over your mob at the moment, though, Maroon, obviously with that loss last night. What do you make of, I was going through their roster today, and obviously, you know, that's that state of origin period where Wayne's obviously got a lot of experience. But if you look at Cam Murray and you look at Damien Cook, both played 19 games respectively out of a possible 20, and the one they missed was obviously when they were stood down for origin. Do you think you might regret the fact now that those two guys... should have had a little bit of a rest at the back of that origin period?
Well, I mean, that's a question best
they
left
seem
for.
A little. I mean, those were the two guys. Obviously, that combination and Walker were the guys doing a lot of damage, you know, through the early part in the middle of the year. And those combinations certainly aren't having the same effect at the moment.
He weighed in earlier when we asked him, Anthony. He said he thinks they'll make the grand final and that they'll finish in the top four.
I do. I do think they'll finish in the top four. We've still got to play three rounds, and if you finish in the top four, it's a whole new competition.
Well, they got the Roosters
you're fifth
last.
At the moment, and you've got the Roosters in round 25.
Who they got next?
Yes, they got Brisbane up there.
Your own coach said last night it's not quite terminal, but it's not far off.
Well,
and
it's
I've
not
told
quite.
Them that.
It's well. What do you want me to say, mate? Do you want me to say the season's over?
We're planning for next year.
Yeah. No, don't be ridiculous.
That's where you should. They'll mate, come
back. I want you to say I'm going on. I'm going to go through with my holiday to Hawaii in the second week of September.
What do you think they're going to do to the Brisbane Broncos next Friday night?
I want you to apologise for all the things you've said about the Titans this year because your side are going to be lucky to make the eight.
About the Titans.
You're a chance of losing all three. You are a chance of losing all three. So you got Brisbane up there, right?
Yeah.
Who which they won't. Form, and you got the Warriors over there.
Ah, please. South will win both of those
and
games.
And you haven't beaten the Roosters.
Do you want to have a bet on it?
No, I don't
years.
Want to have a bet on it.
And then the Roosters. Well, this year, the Roosters will.
They got him in the first game.
The feather dusters will just put the sword to you.
Well, we'll see. But even if you won two of those three, even if you only won
How
two of those three,
two?
It doesn't mean you're not going to finish in the top four. And if you finish in the top four, my experience, just as a rugby league supporter,
you play the home games
if you
at
finish
Redfern.
In the top four,
play your home
Gordon,
games at Redfern.
Gordon, South don't play at Redfern.
So where's your home ground
listen,
these days?
Why don't you worry about the Titans a little bit?
Yeah.
Hey? What do you know about the Titans, eh?
Yeah,
and
do.
All the great players they pay $1 million to who don't even play. Why don't you worry about that a little bit more? Getting beat by 50 one week and 55 the next week.
Hmm.
They got within 18 points the other night. They were celebrating that a ticker tape parade in Cavill Avenue. Go the mighty Titans. You know where you can jam them, don't you, Gordon? They're no chance of making the top four. At least my team's a chance of making the top four and winning another grand final.
Where can he jam
You're funny.
Them?
He can jam them right up his coit is where he can jam them. Let's take a break and we'll come back.
Rabbits are banned in Queensland.
And we'll talk to Elliot Whitehead, a gentleman of rugby league, as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL, 7 gone, or 6.5 gone, Warriors, 6 over the Sydney Roosters, 0. That score is all thanks to our mates at Tyre Power with Hoops, with Gordy Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. Boys, we've got our award-winning segment, Believe It or Not, coming up. But before I do, I thought just for a little bit of fun, I'd play you a blooper from another radio station, a radio station in Canberra called 2CC. Would you like to hear it, boys?
Love to. Yes. Okay. I would love to hear
Here is the blooper from Radio 2CC.
Raiders centre Joey Leilua is on the verge of playing his 200th NRL game. He's been named to face the Storm after overcoming a career-threatening spinal injury. It will be Leilua's first game in 16 weeks after he had surgery on a bulging disc in his neck.
So there you go. That's what happens when things go.
Mate, are you throwing other people?
Yeah, God,
you have look run after, out of buses.
Like, in fairness, meant to look after other colleagues.
Oh, like you do.
Yeah, you are, absolutely.
Yeah,
and
like
in
you
the spirit
blokes,
of that,
yeah.
Ryan, in the spirit of that, in fairness to the young lady from 2CC in Canberra, I made the same faux pas on Fox Lee the Saturday night, talking about the same issue. It's a bit of a tongue twister, Anthony.
Yeah.
I went to say Michael Ennis was also on the panel.
That's the bulging that gets you.
Yeah. Michael Ennis was also on the panel, Gerds. And I went to say the DJ, the BJ.
You should have just used inflame.
Don't say BJ.
I went to say that BJ had a bulging disc, Mick, but it came out a little bit upside down.
Okay.
So it can happen.
We'll see if we can get up. Maroon will probably get hold of that for next week.
Yeah. No, it's hard
to believe. I thought that's
where
he was going with it, for sure.
I thought it's not, it really is hard to believe that you made an error, though. you were the champion team at Fox League that never get anything wrong. Now it's time for this.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, some of the comments coming back about this segment, which has gone global right around the world, another one of our segments, put together by our producer, Chica Charlie White, the grandson of the chairman, who was out doing an OB yesterday at Castle Hill RSL. He just organising stuff for himself, wasn't he? Like free meals and chatting to different people, and
he's learned from you really well.
Hasn't
he must
learned
have read
anything
your book
from
Anthony.
Me, mate.
He's read your
he
book.
He hasn't learned any. Well, at least somebody.
What were you doing at Castle of RSL? Aren't you affiliated with that other RSL?
Yeah, the other side of the town, in the south of Sydney. I've got to do my job.
They're happy for you to just not be exclusive
happy,
and go and do what you need to at other times.
As long as it's out of the radius.
Okay,
that's out of the radius.
Well, it's not that far.
There's an exclusivity radius.
Castle Hill to. Where was it, Belmore? I mean, what's that?
It's actually 22.7 Ks because I checked, so don't worry about that.
Oh, that's good.
Like I say to the other blokes, Gerds, you worry about your own life, I'll worry about my own life.
Well, you're worried
life,
about Charlie, so...
But I've got to look after
him.
So if
you're worried about Charlie, I'm just worried about yours.
I mentor him and I mentor Hoops.
And how's that going with
Hoops?
Going
terribly.
Did you meet through the week?
It's going terribly. It's going awfully. It couldn't be going worse. There's nothing can be done to help.
I've got more problems than I thought, Anthony.
Oh, don't worry about that. You haven't got more problems than I thought. It's time for this. You've already played this opener, haven't you?
Did you just show to the opener?
I thought. Oh dear. Okay.
So, can I get some of those gummy bears?
This is fair dinkum. This is honestly. 32 years of radio, this is fair dinkum, the worst show I have ever had anything to do with. I used to do
and
the...
look who's
I
in
used
charge.
To do,
if you freeze it there, look who the captain of the program
I
is.
Used to do the Beef and Livestock and the Sorghum Report at 2NZ Inverell. It was a better show. It was a better organised show than this.
Bullshit.
Believe it or not.
I call bullshit.
And here he is again swearing. Good Lord.
He'll sit you on your bottom if you're not careful.
Believe it or not, Sean...
Anthony, spit it out.
Oh,
come on. Chainsaw teeth. Get through it.
Mate, I've got beautiful straight teeth now.
Yeah,
like Jimmy Hannon, I had them done.
I know, you could eat through a mud crab. Couldn't he?
He'd never pay for one, though.
Oh, dear. Why would I pay for one when I know I can get one from Bankstown RSL Star Buffet?
Here we go. Here we go. Sean Lane's $17,000 fine is a fair punishment. Believe it or not, Gordon Tallis.
For the plastic bag? No, I don't think it's fair.
You don't think it's a fair punishment?
I think it should be probably double.
You think triple. It should be double?
Yeah, triple.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So they talk about before, what is it, the article of 3 million people or less people watching, and I think that's part of the reason. I think the off-field behaviour is part of the reason. There's a not only one, you know, you're probably breaking the rules of your contract, but you're breaking the law. So if he's found guilty, and I know that they're all alleged, but whatever embarrassment he's brought to the game, it should be double.
Okay, Gordy, believe it or not, what about this one? Gerds, Sean Lane's $17,500 fine is a fair punishment.
It's hard to gauge how much damage he's done to the game, but, I mean, that seems like a reasonable amount to me, $7,500. I don't know how much Sean Lane is on. I wouldn't imagine his contract is in excess of, you know, $200,000 or $300,000. So I'm thinking that's a decent percentage of that.
Hoops.
I'd say that must be how they've figured out, because it seems a weird number, $7,500. So it must be a percentage of whatever he's actually on.
Gee, that's a better question. Can you take over this segment?
And then I think the other thing the Eels are going to make him do is talk to his teammates, you know, about what happens if you're on the front page and you're in a situation like that. So there you go, Anthony.
All right. Believe it or not, question number two. Perhaps we've probably done this one, but we'll do it again. The one-on-one strip is good for the game. Would you like to start this one, Ryan?
Oh, as we see a Titans player strip.
Warriors.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's Jared Beal.
I don't want to get beaten twice on one weekend.
I was going to say, couldn't get any worse for the Titans, could it? No, look, with the one-on-one, I'm all on board for the one-on-one strip. I always have been. It's the three-on-one and the two guys fall away that I'm not a fan of. Gordon and I just had a nice chat about that off air, and he was trying to give me a cuddle and I'll do all sorts of things to prove it to me. I'm still not going down that path. I believe I don't believe it brings a lot to a game. I know there's a bit of contested possession there and there's a bit of excitement around that for the moment, but I just think it slows things up a little, and I don't think it's really that good for our game, to be honest.
Believe it or not, Hoops. No. The one-on-one strip is good for the game.
Yeah, I like it. And I'll use last night's game, that cracker between the Storm and the Raiders and Josh Hodgson's play that ultimately allowed Canberra to be able to win the game. Clearly, the Raiders seem to be training for it more than other sides. The stats show that, particularly Josh Hodgson. He's the best exponent at it. And apparently their call for it is if they've got numbers in, they say money. And then the other tacklers drop off, and whoever's actually got hold of the ball, well, then he can try and execute.
Okay. Did you see Maroon just get excited then? Look at him. He wants that
he did
play.
Just get a pep
take
in
me back
your,
to the Waterloo Waratahs.
Do you reckon, though, that it's teams, Hoops, that spend a bit more time working on it? Or do you think that Josh Hodgson has just got – he's just this kind of guy that gets himself into those positions to make that play? Because I reckon if Josh Hodgins was playing for the Warriors, I still think he'd be getting same amount of strips. I think it's more about the individual player more so than the club actually preparing for it.
Yeah, it's a bloke that thinks on his feet the fastest. Alan Langer used to get a million of them. He's a very clever, smart player.
Yep.
I think I got one or two in my whole career.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was always there to be taken. Like
Didn't you beat South with the strip in the semi-final?
I was there that game. It wasn't a semi-final.
No, it was a pool string.
It was a big game.
It was 7 seconds to go.
Yeah, it was.
Just when the play had to be made.
I think they hadn't won a game for how long was it?
No, I don't think they'd ever beaten Brisbane.
We'd started the season. It was a good start to the season. Like 1-1, lost one, but it would have been a really big scalp to get, and Gordon just ruined it toward the end.
Who was your coach back then?
I think it might have been Paul Langmack. Yeah.
Paul Langmack. And to add to that story, Langer's left because they used to sit up on that level three or whatever. So he's left and gone down in the lift.
Yeah. Mm.
So he thought South had won.
That's right.
So he's run past
poor old Langer.
And he's there at the end of the tunnel thinking that South had won. And I got up in the dressing room and Wayne Bennett was filthy. I said, mate, we won. He goes, no, you bloody didn't. I said, Wayne, we won the game. How did you win? I said, well, I stole the ball. It rolled out.
And that was when it was one-on-one?
Yeah, one-on-one.
So if it was one-on-one now, what would be the problem if it can still happen and it can still be contested possession?
But it is one. So basically, back when we were playing, Gert, if somebody has put their hand on, that was always deemed as two men in the tackle,
That's
even though
right.
you had beaten that defender. I like the way they're doing it. I think it's going to get flies away from the tackler, so now there might be two, and they get him to the ground quicker. You know what I mean? So, like, then sides are going to go, well, let's get him to the ground or like, work harder. I actually like the rule. I think it's It's great. It might bring out or alleviate more tackles and a little bit more wrestle. I think it might speed it up.
Warriors 6, Roosters 0. Next one on the Believe It or Not segment. The Rabbitohs are a tier below Raiders, Storm, and the Roosters. Hoops.
They're tears when looking at you. Look at you. Crying in your cereal this morning.
Mm. Yeah, because I had to pick you up. So I had to work with you.
Touche. I mean, toupee.
I'm beating him.
I do believe it at the moment, Anthony. I was of the view that the Bunnies were about to really spike. They're probably going through a pretty tough training load at the moment, and I had the impression that with Sam Burgess back in the front row and Braden Burns back in the centres, and Adam Reynolds overcame that back injury, and you looked on paper, and with the exception of Alex Johnston, I thought it was South's best 17 that they put out there against the Bulldogs last night. I thought they'd beat them comfortably and then build some momentum going into September, but last night set him back a long way, and I thought their coach summed it up perfectly when he said, it's not terminal yet, but it's not far off. So, yes, I do believe that they are a tier below those best teams at the moment.
The Rabbitohs are a tier below the Raiders, the Storm, and the Roosters, Gerds. Believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe that. I'd probably have them back with the Seagulls and the Eels at this point, Maroon. I think they're just a little shade behind, shandy behind the other three.
What about you, Festa? The Rabbitohs are a tier below the Raiders, the Storm, and the Roosters.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're a bottom four side at the moment. As in bottom four of the eight.
Okay.
Bottom four of the eight.
Okay. This is a good one. Well, not a good one, but an interesting one. Our award-winning segment, Believe It or Not. The Cowboys need to get rid of Paul Green. What are you saying, Hoops?
No, I don't believe it. Paul Green won North Queensland their first ever premiership in the history of the club. He took them to a grand final in 2017. I think what can go wrong has gone wrong on the injury front and for a variety of other reasons, which we've already
discussed. Well, much could be said about that for other coaches too, Hoops.
It could, Anthony.
But continue.
But should we get rid of you as host of this radio program?
Well, I think, you know what, I don't think you should, but I listened to you guys while I was travelling up the Central Coast in the last hour, last week, and I listened to you blokes, and it was a fair dinkum schmozzle. It was like a mad woman's breakfast. It was fair dinkum. It sounded like 88.7 Maitland FM Community Station with you trying to run the show.
So you've just, well, it wasn't me. It was actually Dan.
Well,
Gennady.
Dan sounded
so
fine.
So you've just put
Dan
the slipper,
fine.
The machete, everything into Dan Gennady.
No, I love Dan. You three that just... You put the slipper in, you backstab me, every chance you get. Answer the question, Hoops. The Cowboys need to get rid of Paul Green, you say, believe
no.
it or not. What about you, Gerds?
I'm going to say that I think they'll be keeping a close eye on how the team performs in early next year, given the fact that, about his fifth or sixth year now? Mm. I know that they've obviously lost some key players this year with JT gone, but I haven't seen that group evolve a lot. I know that they've had some bad luck this year with injuries, but as you said, Maroon, so has a lot of other teams. But I just, that performance yesterday for a side that with a roster like that, I think that's unacceptable. And I think there'll be a close eye kept on Greeny early on in next season to see whether or not he can get the best out of the cattle.
Well, I know of at least one coach that's floating around at the moment that might have already been there in some role that's floating around now. Things didn't work out in the Super League, but I'm just saying.
Who's that, Anthony?
Well, I'm just thinking of there's a great coach just floating around by the name of David Ferner, who's already played a little bit of time in. But I'm just thinking as a rugby league supporter.
Well, speaking of the English Super League, I think you'll find that Sean Wayne, who won three premierships with Wigan, has also recently thrown his hand in the air and said that he'd love to get an opportunity to come and coach in Australia. So, yeah, there's always options out there.
Righto, Gordon. What about you, mate?
No, I think Paul Green's still the right man for the job. Mm-hmm. He's just got to work hard. He's lost Jonathan Thurston. It's a big, big, big shoes to fill. Someone that took, probably 70 quality touches, every game. And, that's a hard man to replace.
I think the Roosters are about to go over. No, they've dropped the ball. So Warriors 6, Sydney Roosters 0 on the scoreboard there, the Type Power scoreboard. Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler.
Can I give a shout out? There's a little Twitter feed come through of Mark Gobi sitting with his life partner listening to the show up at Brisbane. So he's sitting there having some cheese and some wine with his life partner.
His life partner?
Yeah. What they call them, don't they? Life partners? I don't know.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, then that's how it comes through. That's how that text comes through.
Okay, a life partner.
Yeah.
Why is that funny, Oops? It's taken.
Like, isn't like, is that like Starsky and Hutch? Like, is
yeah.
he's
yeah, something like that.
I mean, you hear partner or life coach or you know, but
I don't think it's Charlie Hobbs or whatever his name is. What's his name? Stubbs.
Bradley Charles Stubbs.
There you go. I don't know what you three do, but I'm going to give you a tip.
I tell you what, stay away. I had one of your lollies. That's what happened.
Just stay away from the grog for a couple of weeks. Where the season's a long way from over. We've still got to get through the finals. You're making up names, making up all sorts of things.
Oh, hold on. Is Ezzy real?
Hang on. We don't need a history lesson now.
In the art of spinning.
We've got to make it to time. The Warriors lead the Roosters 6-0. Let's take a break as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy. Let's go! For Ream Hot Water.
And what a show it's been. World class. Right now we've got the Warriors leading the Sydney Roosters by 6-4 as Triple M rocks the footy. Big game this afternoon. Sharks taking on the Dragons, hey, Gordon.
Anthony, I ran into a good friend of yours through the week. It was on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame, not good.
Yeah, I went to the Hall of Fame, and there was a little guy that got inducted, the little fat guy that you think's fat. What's his name again? Stacey Jones?
Right.
Is now become into the Hall of Fame, probably mm-hmm. the second New Zealander to be put in there, and he actually was pretty upset, and he looks quite fit up close, actually, but he mentioned how you try to fat shame him all the time and how, you know, people are gig him now. When he's running the water on the sideline and tease him a little bit. So I just want to let you know that you do affect lives out there.
Oh, if that's the case, I'd apologise to Stacey. I feel pretty poor about that. I didn't realise that I affected him in that way.
What, calling him fat twice this year?
No, well, but having said that, I'm not the one on the panel that referred to him as the blue M&M. But we'll leave it that.
Well, who did that then?
Well, I don't. It's not for me to say. No,
it was you.
It was not me.
What are you
me.
Talking about? It was so.
Why do you have to gang up on me
because
with your bum
you
chum
again,
over here?
Because here you go again, fabricating events.
Yeah.
You can't say stuff on national radio and then just bowl leg spin around it and pretend it never happened.
I'm just going to move on because
Actually, moving on, I just opened up your mail outside too.
Right.
And you've got a set of cards sent to you.
I know.
Yeah, Rabideau's, always a winner, maroon.
Yeah,
South Sydney.
Rabideau and a midi glass or a schooner glass. NRL sent it to me there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Always a winner. That's funny, isn't it? Was that April Fool's? Is that when you got it? Gordon, so it wasn't a joke?
Well, Gordon, there's a lot of things you don't know about life. Firstly, you don't know how to mind your own business. We all know that.
Yes.
But to go through someone else's mail, that's just another level. Look, I know how important all this rubbish is, but Elliot Whitehead is on the phone, and I'd like to get him up if I can. Elliot from the Canberra Raiders, mate, welcome, and sorry to keep you waiting there. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Thank you for having me.
That's Gordon Tallis, an Australian rugby league great, yeah, believe it or not. mate, they talk about the English influx at the Raiders, but, mate, you've played nearly 100 games for Canberra now.
Yeah, I'm not too far off now, but, all the boys that have come over from England are doing a good job, but, you know, as a team, I think we've really improved over the last few years, so hopefully we can keep on improving and keep climbing ladder.
Talking about improving, how much was that win a confidence boost going into the finals last night, being down 18-0 and coming back over the Melbourne Storm?
Yeah, we're a massive boost. You know, a lot of people have been saying we can't beat the top teams recently, and, you know, I think we showed last night that we are capable of beating them.
That left edge for you guys, Elliot, and that combination you've been able to strike up with Jack Whiten, it's potent, and he's having some kind of year in his first year at 5'8".
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think he just keeps getting better and better every week. He gets there, gets a bit more confidence under him, and, you know, he's a quality player, so it's been an enjoyable season so far playing next to him, and hopefully we can do some of this year as a team and have some memories to remember it by.
Elliot, there was a lot of headlines and focus during the week in the build-up to this game about some of the Melbourne Storm's tactics, their wrestling techniques, etc. From a playing point of view, how was it out there on Amy Park last night?
Yeah, look, they're a quality side, Melbourne, and, you know, the wrestling's probably the best in the league, and they are good at slowing you down and stuff, but You know, I thought we did a good job yesterday, getting some quick play of the balls and getting some momentum in his own right. So, yeah, like you said, they are good at wrestling, and you know they have got some good tactics, and you know, and it's all credit to them, really.
Yeah, talking about the wrestle, what about the one-on-one steals? You guys have started to master that, or your number nine has. Is it something that you guys work on?
Yeah, definitely. As old wrestle coach brought it in, and you know, I think Hodgie's got it down to a pat. So I think he's the best guy at the moment in the NRL, and you know, it's been paying off for us, and it's been helping us as well win games.
Have you been a little bit surprised by the form of your second row partner, John Bateman? I mean, I think he's taken the NRL by storm in the fact that we'd only sort of seen him play for England. And you never know how that's going to transfer over to, you know, week in, week out NRL performances. Has he surprised you at all? Or is that what your expectations were of John when he came over?
I played with John at Bradford as well, and I knew what he was capable of. So he took me by storm. I knew he'd come here and he'd kill it. And, you know, he's been doing it week in, week out. He's a tough kid, and all he does is want to win. So, and he's brought a lot of passion and that with him from Wigan, and he's growing on all the other team members as well.
Elliot, as you touched on earlier, you're nearing 100 NRL games with the Green Machine. Where does that win last night rank in terms of some of the victories that you've been involved in? Two players in the sin bin in the opening half, and then you trail 18-0 and fight your way back into the game. It was a hell of a match.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. It's not probably the best, you know, to go down there to the league ladder leaders and, you know, be 18-0 down, like you said, and have all them things go against us in the first half and come away with a win were definitely pleasing. But, you know, we practiced them scenarios in training with 12 men. Probably don't expect to go down to 12 men twice in the game, but it happened, and we dug deep, and you know, I felt we defended really well when we had them 12 men, and you know, I think a few of their tries that they got were off like a lucky bounce and a pass from Hodgie what didn't go the right way. So like I said, I thought we defended well, but we still got a bit of improvement in us, and hopefully we've got a tough game this week against Manly, so hopefully we can go fix that up and get the win there as well.
Okay, before you go, mate, another one of your brethren heading to Canberra next year, and George Williams, who's coming to the Raiders via the Wigan Warriors. What can you tell us about him?
Oh, he's got a little bit of superstar about him. You know, he can change the game. He's got a good little kicking game and stuff. And you know, he's a tough little kid as well. You know, he's won some big games over there, so he's going to bring a lot to our team. And it'd be exciting to have him on board. So, yeah.
Okay, well, mate, all the very best for the remaining three rounds into the finals, and congratulations on your success so far this year.
No worries, thank you.
Good on you, mate. It's Elliot Whitehead joining us from the Canberra Raiders on Sunday, Triple M NRL. Still 6-4, Warriors lead the Roosters.
Geez, we're lucky with the quality of games at the moment, aren't we? Like, September has literally come a month early. So you had that cracking game last night. Then they host the Manly Seagulls now in round 23, the Canberra Raiders. And then we've also got your Bunnies Maroon headed up to Suncorp Stadium to take on Anthony Seibold and the Broncos. It's just a sensational time of the year.
It's the balance of their side that's so impressive for the Raiders so far this year going into the finals. I mean, you know, to win a premiership, it always takes, you know, that mix of a little bit of youth, a little bit of experience, and obviously a lot of form, and then no injuries. And without trying to give them the commentator's curse, going into this back half of the, or this back end of the season, their balance, isn't it, between you've got the young guys coming through like Klokstad that's just had an amazing year, and Nick Kotrick and the like, and then you've got, you know, those back rowers from England and the experience of Hodgson and Papali playing his best football. But the most impressive thing for mine, I reckon he's been their best player all year, he's been Jack White. And the influence he's having now over that team and what he did last night, I mean, the way he runs that line down those short sides on that left-hand side for the Raiders continually all night, and his defence there is just taking this side, I believe, and his kicking game to an absolute another level.
Yeah,
he's been outstanding this year.
And he's got it right. You know, when you talk, you know, I don't know too much about playmaking, but when I asked Wally Lewis, said, what made you so great, or what makes a great 5'8", run first, run, pass second, kick third. And Jack White's got that running game. He's got that beautiful shape, but he always takes the man on, which is going to draw, you know, which is going to attract all his outside men. So it's
he's a guy that really, you know, hurts defenders when he runs the football. He's kind of made of granite.
Yeah,
and you see guys, he's always leaving people on. You don't have many 5'8s in the game anymore that leave people on the ground after they do a hit up. And every time you watch the guys that have had to try and affect the tackle on him, They get up late, and they're not looking forward to the next time he does it. And he terrorises halves and back rowers out on that right-hand defensive side for the opposition team.
Gordon?
I just spoke before him, mate.
No, I know, but you're looking at me like you wanted to say something.
I know, because I was just looking at that shirt you had on earlier. What's that shirt, the team? What's that team you got on?
Oh, this is the Laurieton Stingrays.
Oh, and where are they from?
They're from Laurieton up there, just south of Port Macquarie, just near Lake Cateye there.
Oh, and you telling me you have something to do with them?
Well, Ego, a mate of mine, he's up there at Laurieton. He owns them. He's like the Russell Crowe of Laurieton Stingrays.
Oh, okay.
And they have a centre of excellence up there, but it's just the local pub, which is absolutely fantastic.
Is that the pub that you were going to dress up in that Roosters cheerleader outfit?
No, it isn't. No. But we're going to take a break, boys. I'd love to continue pub. Here. The Warriors 6, Roosters 4, Gordon Tallis, so too Gerds and Hoops, who's come in today in a lovely... Lovely flannel you've worn in today. You don't see flannels so much anymore, but that's a nice one. Oops, you got Ugg boots to go with that or just the flannel?
Mate, I will actually retire on life if I'm copping
you
fashion advice.
You should retire
if I'm
on
copping
life.
Fashion advice
you
off you, Hugo Boss.
Because,
I
mate,
retire.
You
hurt.
Should retire on life. You should, fair dinkum.
How
start
many times
making...
did you get Miss Portugal to put that thing in the dryer after buying it in the under five section?
Well,
it's
I
painted
take
on.
Offense to that. Let's take a break, come back, and we'll talk about the Sharks and the Dragons. And if you've got anything to say about Hoops as Flano, MMM_NRL is the place to do it. It's MMM Rock the Footy.
For McDonald's, MMM Footy.
Roosters now lead the Warriors 10-6. 9 minutes left in the first half of that game at the SCG. Roosters 10, Warriors 6. 4 o'clock today, the local derby, the Dragons and the Sharks. And thanks again to the NRL who have sent me a schooner glass and some Rabbitohs playing cards. We might go home and get a game of strip poker going. Just me on my own. I'll just for something different, just to add a bit of spice to my own self. Mm. Yes, would you like to say anything
well,
else? Eh? Would you like to add anything?
Mate, how can we add to that?
I know. Well, that's where my life has gone, right? I'm a loser. I've got nothing left.
You go home and play a bit of euchre or play a bit of five.
With who? The dog?
Well, Miss Portugal.
With the dog?
Or why don't you take your wife for a beautiful walk along Little Bay Beach or whatever it's called?
South didn't win. Little Kong Wong.
Kong Wong.
Go and have a cup of tea with Ayrsie's widow.
Daff. She's up
How's
the Daff? Coast.
She plays a bit of gin rummy.
She loves a game of gin rummy. Yeah. Shall I go around there with a couple of pilsners and a couple of reshes? She loves the old reshes. Get a bit of gin rummy going with old Daff, God love her.
God, you can tell
she
the
greatest
story.
She listened to Charlie Pride and Johnny Cash.
Charlie Pride, yeah. Standing on the mountain.
Bit of Cole Joy.
Oh, a bit of
Heaven
Cole
is my woman's
love. You
sit
out and play rummy on that pergola that you had built for a couple of months ago. How did that turn out anyway? Did she come in under budget?
She came in under budget. It's not good. I mean, look,
that's when you were doing the numbers at the game.
It's not the Taj Mahal, calculator. But it'll do. It'll do. Okay. She'll be heading up the coast to live soon. Okay. Hello, Daff, if you're listening up there at Bateau Bay to us today.
You'll be listening.
Anyway, must say, Hoops, even by your own standards, mate, you have been terrible today. And you are a bloke who's known for sometimes just not putting in. Out of 10, I am giving you a score of minus 19.
Thanks, Anthony. Oh, I'll take that as a wrap coming from you. And can also just sign off. You've smelt tremendous today.
Really?
What you're wearing.
Mate, where did you
I'm sure
from?
Christine will be curious when you get home because it's a wonderful aroma.
She'll check the pockets for the dancer dollars. That's a short giveaway.
Well, it sounds like you know a bit about that there, Gerds.
Welcome to the stage, Kenny.
Look, we've had lots and lots. So that's it for you for today. Thank God, Hoops. You're staying, Gerds. You're staying to Gordon. And, look, we had an interview through the week, which we've just had so much feedback about that we thought we'd get it on again before the show is over. This is Hall of Famer, our own personal mate of all of ours here, Ray Rabs Warren, speaking to another part of the Triple M family, Mark Guy. So if you missed that interview, here it is again as Triple M rocks the footy.
Puts on the snap again. Oh, it goes, Freddie. That was magnificent stuff. Well, hey, Gal's on, Freddie.
The man who needs no introduction, but we just gave him a beautiful one, is the one and only Raymond Warren, who joins us on the phone. And Rabs, first of all, mate, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I'm a little bit humbled by it because I honestly thought Frank would be the man named, but he I think will be. He'll be named next year, put it that way. But I'm delighted, I'm thrilled, but I'm just a little bit humbled by it all.
Robbie, 51 years you've been doing this caper of broadcasting. I'm 51, so ever since I can remember, you've been somewhere in the background of my house or actually calling me in footy. And how did it all start for you? How did broadcasting start for Ray Warren?
Oh, well, I was just a little kid, 6, 7, 8 years of age, and I had parents that used to listen to the races every Saturday, and I got obsessed by listening to people like Ken Howard and Frank Hyde and John O'Reilly, Alan McGilvray. We only had radio. We didn't even have transistor radios, so we needed electricity to run them. And I somehow or other, I decided I was going to be one of them. And the first thing I did was I started rolling marbles down a slope and calling them as horses. And then I as I got a bit older, I'd go down to the footy field and pretend I was Frank Hyde, or I'd go down to the cricket and pretend I was Alan McGilvray. I probably led a childhood of being a pretender, but it led to this life that I've led, and it's all been an absolute dream come true.
Throughout your rugby league career, you would have seen some amazing rugby league players, and I a question without notice, because you don't obviously know what I'm going to ask you, but if you could name the three best players that you've called throughout your career, would you be able to do that, or would you have to have time to think about it?
No, I think it'd be a very hard task. Mark, I think Wally, because he dominated 10 years of Origin, he'd certainly be in my top three. It's very hard to compare eras. When I first came to Sydney in 1969, I think it was, Bobby Fulton, I thought, you know, I just thought nobody will be as good as him ever. But I thought the same, you know, of Clive Churchill and a lot of other players that I thought were indispensable. And then along came Cameron Smith and Billy Slater and Jonathan Thurston. So it's too hard to think about it and give you what would be an accurate answer.
We've just gone through retro round last weekend. In your opinion, what decade of rugby league did you enjoy the most?
Probably this one, to be quite frank with you. I mean, we had three grand finals there, Mark and Liam, that were just absolutely so enjoyable. Souths, they win their first grand final in over 40 years. That was magnificent. We had Cronulla turning the lights out on the front porch. And then we had the Cowboys winning their first. Cronulla wins their first. Cowboys win their first. And even that grand final, the Cowboys Brisbane, it was, everybody said, oh, there'll be nobody there. But it was a packed stadium. And I think it was probably the most enjoyable grand final I've seen.
Rabbi,
I would say this decade. Yeah. Yes.
When you mention the grand finals that you've called, that's hard to argue with because we've seen three belters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rabbi, Peter Sterling has a quote that when he thinks back to all the significant moments in rugby league of the recent history over the last 50 years, as MG pointed out, it's your voice that's calling them. When you're calling each game or each moment, do you keep in mind that, do you ever think about the fact that if there's a moment in this game, it's my voice is the soundtrack to these moments?
No, not really. Not really. I'm probably more concentrating on just getting it right, hitting the high notes and picking the highlights of the game, being able to recognise something that is absolutely brilliant. I'm not thinking of a soundtrack or anything like that. But don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. If you do stop and think about it, it frightens me really. When I know we've got the match exclusive on Nine, that I'm going out to all those people listening or watching Origin, and the same with the grand final exclusive on the Nine network. So it gets a bit scary when you start thinking, oh, my God, I'm going out to 4 or 5 million people, you know.
And especially when someone, like Mr. Warren is not a really good flyer. So if there's a game in if there's a game in Brisbane or Perth, and he's got to call the Origin, well, I might catch a train across there next.
Well,
time.
I was thinking about it.
And, I know you were.
And Cher wanted to go by train, and I thought, no, I'll be the laughing stock of rugby league if they go by train.
Hey, Rabs, do you remember the first time you ever called our very own Mark Geyer?
I think I do, but I must admit my first impressions were that, my God, this is Wild Bill Hickok. You know, this is the wild man from the Pampas.
I'll refresh your memory. It was 1986, and I'd played under 23s at Parramatta Stadium. Then I was lucky enough to get a run in reserve grade, and then I sat on the bench for first grade in Ray Price and Mick Cronin's last home game at Parramatta Stadium. And I got on with about 5 minutes to go, and I had strapping from head to toe. And you called and you said, "Mark Geyer, this young guy coming off the bench looks more like Cardigan Bay than he does a rugby league player."
Yeah. Well, see, I often refer to Cardigan Bay, and I've got to learn to stop doing that, because Cardigan Bay was a great pacer.
Yes,
from New Zealand, and he seemed to wear a lot of bandages, and and that was my way of describing how many bandages you had on. You were the human equivalent
of a mummy
of the equine Cardigan Bay.
But, wish I
were. there were arms and legs and everything going and waving and. It was quite an entry, but you're right. 86, it was the end of my first rugby league career with Channel 10.
Yeah, wow.
Rabbi, impersonation, it's the greatest form of flattery. Are you sick of people trying to do you?
No. I didn't like it when it first started. In fact, I thought a couple of blokes were taking the mickey out of me from Balmain.
Ronnie Ryan. Yes.
You know, they were in a pub in Lismore, and we'd done an Amco Cup up there, and they were taking the mickey out of me, and I went over and said, hey, what do you think you're doing? You're taking the you-know-what out of me? And anyway. I thank God I didn't upset them too much, because they would have pulled me apart. You know.
Now, a little as you make your way to these awards tonight, I suppose it's a little bit of a reflection time. I've known you for a long time, over 30 years, and as I mentioned at the start of this chat, that I can't imagine rugby league without the dulcet tones of yourself. You turned 76 last June.
Yeah.
You've called 93 State of Origin games.
Yeah.
Will you get to 100?
I don't think so. No, I'm answering in all honesty, Mark. I don't think so. It's not far away, retirement. And I've had a really good run. And with every step you take, you're one step closer to making a fool of yourself. And I don't want to do that.
Well, I know what you mean, and I know that I suppose it's every broadcaster with your quality has that kind of in their back of their mind that they'd rather call one less than one more, and I suppose that's that relates to rugby league players too. But now that you've become a grandfather, has life changed incredibly for you? How much joy has that brought to your life, being a poppy?
Oh, well, Holly's got a baby, but. Young Chris, he's got three children. So I've been a grandfather, but a lot of their life was lived in England.
That's right.
After he left the Perth Reds and he went to England, so a lot of Matilda and Joe, I think from memory, their life was spent in England. But we've got a young bloke here called Matteo, and he is an absolute He's a gem of a kid. But I am getting a bit sick and tired of tripping over Thomas the Tank Engine. And I'm sick of watching the Teletubbies. And oh, my
the
God.
Wiggles, what about the Wiggles?
The Wiggles, oh, yeah, fair dinkum.
I reckon there's a new venture for Ray.
I was about to say.
Black Skivvy and the new Wiggle.
Oh, well, I was going to say, we know that Ringo Starr, in his life after the Beatles, he went on to voice Thomas the Tank Engine. Oh. Rabs, you'd be a walk-up start to voice some sort of animated series on the ABC.
How good would he be?
Liam, would you just keep that to yourself, please? I don't want to finish up as the voiceover man in Disneyland.
Hey, Rabby, no, I, those that don't know, when I first started at Triple M, I used to produce some of the shows that Rabs worked on here. And I'm going to share this story because I don't know if I've actually told it to Rabs. Rabs, I used to give you a phone call to just run you through the shows we were going to do that afternoon. Usually I'd find you on the golf course, and it's a Lee, just hold on a minute while I take this shot. And if it was a good shot, we'd end up having a nice conversation about the show for that evening.
If it wasn't
a good shot, Lee, whatever you want to talk about's fine by me.
that's right.
Are you still hitting the golf ball, Robbie?
No, I don't play anymore. Physically, I'm not real brilliant, but I just got sick of making a fool of myself. Really.
Well, Rabby, you're not making a fool of yourself when you commentate rugby league.
Far from it.
And this honour that you're going to be bestowed tonight at the ceremony is well deserved. Ray Warren, one of the three contributors being inducted into the NRL Hall of Fame at tonight's ceremony, alongside JJ Giltinan and Peter Frelingos. Rabs, congratulations from everyone here at Triple M and the Rush Hour, and thank you for everything that you've given us.
We salute you, sir.
Righto. Thank you. I appreciate that very much, and thanks for the phone call.
Love you, mate.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.